pretended.
Where are we?
Where indeed, my charming little entrancer? Near or far? I fear that your old dodderer is very far away from where he should be. Oh, so many miles. So many mornings behind. I'll bring you only boots of Spanish leather, my dear child.
Doc shook his head, his eyes puzzled.
Hang in there, Doc. At least you're not having as many of those wandering spells as when we first met up with you.
Rad count's still up some. High, but still not too high.
Any guess as to where we might be this time?
I don't know. Doc's right about the dryness. I've never quite got the jumps figured. At times it seems like there's a change in the season. That could just be distance. Don't know. No refs for it. If it's summer, then this could be a lot of places. You know that, Ryan.
Yeah. Hot and dry. Sounds like the southwest to me. Near Mexland, River Grande. Don't know that part well. Do you?
Nope. Traders said that the coast went under during the nukings. Lower California vanished. He said the Pacific laps against the foothills of the Sierras now. At least we didn't hit a gateway under the sea.
The six of them reached the door to the rest of the complex and stopped. The green lever that they'd seen before was in the down mode, showing that the entrance was still locked and sealed. Christy stopped Ryan from lifting the handle.
Wait.
What is it?
If it's this hot in the middle of the redoubt, chances are it'll be a whole lot warmer once we get out. Maybe we should leave our coats here, get them on the way back.
Sure, but hang on to the packs.
Ryan took off his own long fur-trimmed coat and folded it neatly, laying it on a straw-colored plastic bench. He kept the weighted silk scarf. The others took off their warm clothing, except for Doc, who insisted on keeping the faded frock coat.
I need something to hold a touch of heat in these cold, old bones.
The lever worked easily, with the familiar feeling of some massive hydraulic pressure behind the walls. Gears engaged, and the twin doors slid slowly open. The corridor swept past them. It was wider than most, with a circular roof. Immediately, Ryan felt the increase in heat. Glancing down at the rad count, he noticed that it had darted into the red. JB spotted it at the same time. The tiny measuring devices were slightly directional, and Ryan unclipped his from his shirt lapel, glad he transferred it from the long coat. He held it on the palm of his right hand, turning and pointing it both ways along the passage.
Shouldn't linger here.
According to this, it's a fair bit warmer that way.
Hot spots be interesting. Find good things near them.
Makes sense. Hot spots show heavy nuking. That means they might have been important places in the past.
We'll go left a ways. If it gets too hot, we'll come back.
They followed Ryan's lead without question. They'd only been walking along the featureless corridor for a couple of minutes when they came across the first of the bodies. JB cocked his head to one side as he considered the evidence in front of him.
Must have been men here when the nukes actually hit the redoubt.
First time I've seen that. All the other places were stripped and mostly cleared.
There wasn't a whole lot of warning, not when it came down to it.
Yeah, but I've read enough and heard enough to think the government knew at the end. They knew.
Too late, my brothers. Oh, too late by too many years.
Doc looked along the corridor to the beginnings of destruction, to the first of the scattered corpses in front of them. Lori drew her pistol, but Doc shook his head.
No danger, dearest. They've been chilled for the better part of a century, of 100 years. They can do us no possible harm.
There were five. Tangled together, limbs entwined in the embrace of a violent passing. They all wore the faded, crumbling rags of uniform, but the colors had bleached out long ago. One had three golden stripes lying on the rotted cloth of an arm. Jack approached and stooped over them, touching the toe of a boot to the nearest. It quivered. One of the skulls rolled a little, empty sockets glaring at the intruders. Teeth gleamed like ivory, between lips like brown parchment. Jack straightened up.
All leather. Looks like blown against wall. Big boom.
The biggest, son.
The bones of the hands were like frail sticks, and strands of wispy hair clung to the skulls. As far as could be seen, none of the bodies showed any marks of bullets.
No blasters.
Non-coms.
How's that, JP?
Cleaners, cooks, clerks, not fighting soldiers. They don't have pistols. There'll be shelter someplace in the redoubt. Looks like they were on their way there when the missiles hit. Shockwave. The blast threw them there.
Don't look like they have bones broke.
Not like that. Shockwave. Ruptures all your internal... your guts. Could also have sucked out the air and choked you. It depends. Guess we'll never know.
They won't tell us, that's for sure.
The rad count was intermittent, but it was generally edging upward. Ryan had made the decision that they'd keep going for another 15 minutes or so. Experience showed that exposure of that length didn't generally bring rad sickness. They moved past two more groups of dead soldiers, only one of them with a blaster, a Browning high-power pistol, still holstered. Then they found the woman. Jack was on point, and they had reached a section of the long passage with other narrower corridors winding off and rooms on either side. If it hadn't been for the rad heat, Ryan would have stopped and explored. All his life he'd wondered what the madness had been that had made civilized people destroy one another, like crazies tearing out their own eyes. He felt that one day he might find a clue to what had lain at the back of it. The letters on the half-glazed door had peeled and become almost illegible. Ryan traced them with his finger.
C something, PTA something, NS something, R something, HGUY.
Captain Sarah Guy. Do I win the year's supply of turtle wax?
They all stared blank-faced at Doc for a moment, before continuing. The door stood half open, and they could see a figure slumped over a desk. There was a thick orange dust laid over everything, like a shroud of the finest silk.
Time we should be moving out, Ryan. Counter's well into red.
Just 5 minutes more.
Ryan pushed the door open and walked into the office. On one wall was a calendar for the year 2001, with a beautiful picture on it of the Tetons under snow. The days had been neatly crossed through with a purple felt marker, all the way up to January 20th. On the wall opposite was a poster that read, "If you aren't sure, then you aren't right." There was a long, fine hair dangling from the shrunken skull of the woman, which under the veil of dust looked as if it might once have been blonde. Her head rested on her arms. The sharp edges of the shoulder bones had pushed through the frayed material of the uniform. The finger bones were pinched around a pen, and on the desk was an unfinished letter. JB pointed to a small brown bottle that stood uncapped and empty on the corner of the desk.
Look at that.
She must have had some warning. Or could be she survived a first strike, knew she was rad dead anyway, and chose the easy way out for herself. Looks that way.
Yeah.
Ryan picked up the sheet of paper and blew off the layer of fine dirt. The letter wasn't very long. There was no preamble, no date.
So Dad was right all those years we kidded him about his doomy fears. Now it's happened. Don't know if you'll get this letter. Don't know if you're still alive. The EMP wiped out everything around here. They nuked the north end of the redoubt. A lot of dead, a lot of good friends. Maybe they died fast and lucky. I know that Ginny and Donna, the one Ted said had nice tits when we came home last fall, went in that strike. I was in the shelter. Rads are way off the top of any scale we got, so I'm not waiting for the blood and ulcers and all that. I guess Gramps wouldn't approve. He always said it was a coward's way out, and that you'd end up in hell. He was wrong, Mom. This is hell. It's harder to read here. Handwriting deteriorates. Sentences get weird. I guess the drugs were kicking in. Don't feel too dark in here. The backup lights work throughout, so it's not this. They got nuke power, and they'll be light for another 1,000 years. Funny that is. Wish I could have seen you all more time. Bruce said not trust leaders, and he was really right. Too late now. It's working, then I quickly wanted to, just hope Gramps was right about us all meeting someplace. Gets it shame, right anymore. If you see, that's all she wrote.
Ryan put the piece of paper back on the desk, exactly as he had found it. And they all left the room in silence. Lori was last out, and she closed the door gently behind them. Two sets of armored titanium sec doors opened up 100 paces along the passage, revealing what the long-dead Captain Sarah Guy had mentioned. Missiles had hit the complex and hit hard. There was massive nuke damage. Walls scored and seared. Granite turned liquid in a microsecond, then back to rippled stone. Jagged streaks of charred paint, the wooden frames of doors, converted instantly to charcoal. There were no more corpses. However, they did discover piles of scattered, tumbled bones that bore no resemblance to anything human, to anything that might once have been human. And eventually, only a little farther on, they reached the end of the line. The missiles had brought down the walls and ceiling, caving in the earth above, filling the corridor with spilled rocks and dirt, bright orange-red dirt.
Gaia, let's get out of here. It's just a big tomb.
Stay much longer and we'll fry along with them. Counts up and off the red.
Ryan led them back to the main entrance to the gateway, then continued along the corridor in the opposite direction. At every main junction there was a wall map of the whole complex, which was color-coded level by level. The gateway was simply shown as MT Chamber. It was immediately obvious that the nuking had wiped out 9/10 of the base, leaving only a residual section. Fortunately, it included the main entrance. Doc pointed to the top of the clear, plas-covered guide.
At least we know the name of the place. Shea Canyon Redoubt.
You know it, Doc?
What's that, Ryan, my dear fellow? I fear that I was allowing my mind to wander a little. What were you saying?
You heard of this place, Shea Canyon? Know where it is?
The old man looked bewildered, and Ryan expected one of his gibberish responses. But he was wrong.
I'm not sure, but the name reminds me. Back in October, no, it must have been September. Or, what? September. It was definitely September. 1896 was the year.
He stopped, and everyone waited for him to continue. Finally, Laurie jogged him by tugging at the sleeve of his coat.
What? Oh, yes, I was just recalling that it was most definitely 1896. Poor dear Harriet Beecher Stowe had passed on to join the Choir Invisible at the beginning of July that year. And only 2 months later, I was plucked from my home and hearth by the bastards of Project Cerberus.
Doc, does this have some point?
Of course it does. I came to the Southwest for a working vacation. I lived with the Mescalero Apaches, local Indians, met the Navajo and Hopi peoples, and lived for some time near one of their holy places. Now, you see, Ryan, that was called Canyon de Shea, but Shea was spelled C-H-E-L-L-Y, and as you can certainly hear from my pronunciation, it sounded as though it were spelled S-H-A-Y, Shea, exactly like that name there. I just wonder.
Wonder away, Doc. You lost me at C-H-E. But can we go to the armory shown here before we head for the main entrance of the redoubt? It was probably blown up when it was all over, in case the Reds got to it afterwards. Still, it's worth a look, don't you reckon, Ryan?
Sure. Let's go.
It wasn't far, and they only had to travel through two more sets of armored doors. Ryan kept an eye on the rad counter, seeing to his relief that the level had dropped drastically once they got away from the scene of the actual nuking at the north end. But JB's fear was correct. They reached a series of sec barriers, all with messages warning what would happen to anyone passing through without the proper authorization. Then, as they reached the armory, they saw the evidence of self-set sabotage devices. The doors were blown open, hanging crookedly off their reinforced hinges. And inside, the once orderly shelves and sections of the weapon stores were in jumbled, ruined chaos. Ryan followed JB into the long, hangar-like room, stepping over twisted chunks of metal or armoplast, some of them unrecognizable, some of them just barely identifiable. The armorer picked his way into the chamber, shaking his head sadly.
If this stuff hadn't been blown away, we could have been the barons of all Deathlands inside 6 months, Ryan.
If that's what we wanted.
There were hundreds of hand blasters, all smashed.
94 SB Berettas, and enough M1911A1s to sink a war wag. M62 machine guns, some rocket and Gren launchers. Not all of these are completely destroyed, Ryan. Give me a little time and I can rig up one to work.
Nah, too heavy to carry. Leave it where it lies. We aren't touching the bodies. Leave the blasters the same way, like they fell. Come on.
Laurie pointed to some high shelves on the left that housed some long, shark-like shapes,
What's them?
Dark Knight. Missiles.
Not nukes.
No, Ryan, probably not. But there's Dragon and Copperhead anti-tank rockets there. Must have been overlooked in the last shambles. Launchers, guidance units. Those are the best there. Look at those!